Sun's Week in All. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. There were flares and fireworks in the French capital overnight as thousands of Paris Saint-Germain supporters celebrated their football team reaching the UEFA Champions League final for the first time. The fans blared car horns and waved PSG flags and jerseys after the 3-0 victory against Leipzig of Germany in Lisbon, Portugal. Let's toot those car horns for PSG's Argentine midfielder, Angel Di Maria, who scored a goal and set up the two others in that 3-0 victory against Leipzig. PSG is the first French league club to advance to the UEFA Champions League final since Monaco in 2004. And PSG will now try to become the second French team to lift the European Cup after Marseille in 1993. PSG will play the winner of Wednesday night's semifinal in Lisbon between Lyon and five-time European champion Bayern Munich. Bayern is coming off an 8-2 demolition of Barcelona in the quarterfinals and is a big favorite against the French club Lyon. What lessons can be learned by Bayern's humbling of Barcelona? That's the question Iron Mike Mbonye posed to African football analyst Emeka Enyadike.
The heavy defeat of Barcelona, you know, kind of reminds me of the defeat of Brazil by Germany. It says a lot about the evolution of the game of football, or soccer, as some people in the States call it. It's a function of the dynamics of the game and how much of it is being disrupted by new thinking from a coaching perspective in terms of all of the new technologies and how to prepare teams and how to actually dissect the opponent and decide this is how you want to play. So if there's one thing we learned from that 8-2 defeat, it was simply that a lot has changed in terms of coaching and preparation, and I think Bayern Munich got it pretty right. And maybe it's not a coincidence that the coach of Bayern Munich was also the assistant coach when Germany beat Brazil 7-1.
Do you think it's time for African teams to invest more in the new technologies that help to shape modern coaching and tactics?
Yeah, I think it's about time Africa invested in some of these emerging technologies and in some of these really revolutionary ways of coaching. I've always emphasized, even to you in the past, about how it was important for us to relook our coaching curricula and also look at some of the methods that we adopt, because from what we've seen at international level and also at club level in Europe, there's a lot more use of data, a lot more use of some of the new mechanics in this coaching. So this is something that we need to take a lot more seriously, and if nothing reminds us of why we need to evolve and adapt to these changes, this game was a good pointer to where we need to be looking into.
Can you tell Sunny Side of Sports listeners if there are lessons for African clubs to learn from the defeat of FC Barcelona?
I think the biggest lesson for African clubs is to have this mindset that there's no team, no matter how successful they are, that is unbeatable. Typically in Africa, you find that once a team is drawn against maybe Al Ahly of Egypt or Zamalek, Wydad Casablanca, especially teams from sub-Saharan Africa, the general assumption is we're not going to be able to beat them. So the upsets are not that many. If you try and compare with Bayern against Barcelona, Bayern's a very big team, also as successful as Barcelona on the European scene. What is a bit difficult is looking at a team that has got Lionel Messi and, you know, all that he has achieved over the years. You wouldn't expect that team to be beaten by that kind of number. So the one lesson for them is preparation. If you prepare, former Argentine coach Luis Cesar Menotti, who won the 78 World Cup with them, always says that the ball is round, there's 11 men against 11. And I think it's gotten worse now because some of the methods of preparing for this kind of games are definitely come into focus now, where I think that the name of the team or the size of the team, it's who turns up on the day better prepared.
Going forward, you think African clubs imbibe Bayern's fighting spirit or tactics to overwhelm opponents?
I think for Bayern is a lot more than fighting spirit. I mean, if you look at their history, even the history of German football and the Italians and all of that, is to say that every game and how you approach it. So fighting spirit is also a function of the winning mentality. All across Africa, we have this tendency to go to the gallery. So in terms of coaching, there's emphasis on which players can dribble the most or who can do a lot more. The modern methods that we need to imbibe is the ability to get players who will function as a team and who can help create the right kind of winning focus. And that's something that we can really begin to put into our structure. That's what Bayern has. And yes, over the years, Germans have been known never to give up. But in sports, and especially in soccer, football, the best teams now are not necessarily the most flamboyant teams, but the teams that are well drilled in of winning and how to overcome adversity. And that's all we hope we can then share with everyone in Africa.
That's African football analyst Emeka Enyadike. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Johannesburg, South Africa.
Hi, my name is Emeka Enyadike from the City of Gold, Johannesburg. I want to say a big shout out to the Sunny Side of Sports. Thank you.
This is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Hi, I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Two-time Olympic decathlon champion Ashton Eaton of the USA retired from athletics 3 years ago after successfully defending his title at the 2016 Rio Games in Brazil. The 32-year-old Eaton grew up playing multiple sports, including American-style football, basketball, athletics, soccer, and wrestling. He also earned a black belt in Taekwondo. Ashton Eaton is originally from the northwestern U.S. state of Oregon. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, Eaton tells Reuters he moved to Northern California for a science and engineering job.
My wife and I, we moved to San Francisco, joined a software startup. That was really cool. But ultimately decided I wanted to learn the fundamentals of science and engineering to ultimately be able to work on probably the design and build of things like sustainable energy, space exploration, just be on some of those teams. And as I was in school, got invited to Intel for Olympic Day. They brought myself, Simone Biles, and a couple other athletes to come talk. Met some people from the team there who were working on the project that I'm working on now. They asked if I'd like to join the project, and I just saw it as an awesome opportunity to kind of mix what I knew with my kind of passion for learning about science and tech.
Ashton Eaton says in becoming a two-time Olympic champion in the decathlon, he gained new appreciation for the people who made his equipment.
As I went on in my career, I realized the things that were helping me improve in sport, if we just talk about sport specifically, were my personal kind of training, which is what it is, But also people had to like make things that I had to use, whether it be shoes, clothing, pole vault poles or whatever. And I was like, you know, the people who make those kinds of things are pretty awesome because without them, not only would I not be like where I am in sport, but in large part, you know, you look at the computers, the cars, like whatever, society in general is just like not around.
Ashton Eaton says he wants to help athletes push their performance limits with science.
If you can bridge the gap between what it feels like and what happened with like what you actually did from a skeleton's perspective, I feel like that's a huge leap forward for how people can not only train, but start out and even learn how to do these things. And so, yeah, that's what our project is working on, using cameras to extract skeletal information and hopefully use that to not only give athletes insight and improve their performance, but help fans and people who are watching sports deepen the understanding of what's going on.
In addition to his science and technology job with Intel, Ashton Eaton is studying for a second degree in mechanical engineering. He comments on his retirement from athletics in 2017.
For me, the thing that actually gave me the most satisfaction or helped me be like okay with being done was breaking the world record. So I loved going to the Olympics and winning medals. But for me, increasing the points was like always the motivation. That's why I love the decathlon. That's why I love track and field. It's so measurable. And if progress is your goal, you know where you stand. And so whenever I increase that point total, even if it was just by a point, I was always kind of like, yes, that's what I wanted to do.
That's two-time Olympic decathlon champion Ashton Eaton, who is now studying science and engineering in his post-athletics career. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and U.S. Centers for Disease Control say coughing and sneezing can spread COVID-19. Physical distancing, staying at least 1 meter away from people outside your family, can protect everyone. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Now let's go to Kampala, where Magume Davis Rakawinge has been talking with Jackson Mayanja, the former captain of Uganda's national football team, the Cranes. Magume asked Jackson for his thoughts on a young Crane star, 22-year-old Farouk Mia.
I think Farouk Mia is a young guy. He's coming up and he has a very long future, his big, bright future. If he can look after himself, to know tomorrow, today. You know, with football, you don't need to play the same football today, the same year again, the same year again. You can go off color very, very fast. So next season, they'll ask you, what are you offering? You must, if he has targets. Now, for example, he goes in that club, he scores 10 goals this season, he has another target of 20 goals. He has another target in the next season. So if he can have that in mind, I think he has a bright future.
You've coached different local clubs. Actually, recently you are coaching the Tanzanian team, Kagera FC. Now you're back. Let's talk about you as an individual and other ex-players. What's your role in developing local talent?
Local players, I've been talking to them individually on phone. They ask me, oh, what happened? What it takes to us also, young players, to do what really you did? And how were you training? How were your training sessions? So I explained to them. So if players, if they can always come out, we are ready to help these guys.
Uganda has had back-to-back qualifications for the AFCON, the Gabon 2017 and then the Egypt 2019. And actually they could qualify this time around. What's the magic now? Because you people had, you are great players. Why is it that now that we're seeing Uganda qualify for these major tournaments?
Now, first of all, I put a thumbs up for the government also. You see, before, the government used not to put in money. The national team, especially, they never knew that the national team belongs to Uganda as a government.
And two, I will put the Psalms also to the president of the federation who is there, Mr. Magogo. Why? He came in office and said, me, I don't have money. This is your team. He put it clear to the government. This is your team. And this has not been there for years during our playing time. Although we had very good players, great players, and the players who are playing today. But because of those politicking and so on, the lack cannot be there. So within this time, Uganda now, the organization from the right away from the government is fantastic. And you see, now the players also, during our time, you could see only Jackson Mayanja and my colleague, may his soul rest in eternal peace, Majid Mosisi, were only two professional footballers in the whole country, you know? And you are playing against Nigeria, a team which has players from Paris Saint-Germain, AC Milan, Arsenal, all the 25 some only players who used to fly in Uganda or to fly in Lagos or to fly in Senegal playing against Uganda were all professionals from big super leagues. You know, if you look at the team of Uganda, we opened out, me and Majid Musa, we opened out the door for the players, and they knew, hey, being a professional player, you are really adored, you are this. They saw what was happening when I was playing and Majid Musa was playing. It woken up the players. Today, I think we have about 25 professionals or 27 players. What's that?
Uganda can summon foreign
players. Yes, if you look at the team, Uganda is playing. To see a local player on the park, he must be very good this time.
Now that we're talking about the national team, I wanted to ask you about Jonathan McKinstry, the national coach. Other federations have had local former players to coach the national team. I'm not saying that he's retiring tomorrow or the other day, but should the chance avail itself and they call you to coach the national team, would you be willing to take this slot?
The national teams, look at Senegal, look at some other countries, they have their local ex-players. You see, it depends what type of a person they are putting there. Because to have a national team coach and you are an ex-player, you must have a personality. That is one thing. Players must be respecting you, everybody must be respecting the country, you know, and even you must be knowledgeable. I was an assistant coach for the national team for 9 years, but I was working for the country without money, without salary, you understand? So what does that know? That this man was loyal to this country, eh? Because I was a captain of the national team, I was a national player for 15 years. So what does that show you? That I have seen it all. And that's why I've always said that nowadays you cannot call Jackson Mayanja to become an assistant coach of the national team unless when you give him the top job. Maybe if the federation says, Jackson cannot be a national coach, but give him a technical job in the federation, I have no problem. Yes, I'm a learned guy, so I know I can handle.
So in short, you take it?
Yeah, I can. These days, every coach they will bring, he will be successful in Ugandan football. In the national team. Why? Because the federation is organized. That's why we want to put ex-internationals. And that's why I'm really pushing that thing also, me as Jackson Mayanja, to make sure ex-internationals are organized.
That's Jackson Mayanja, the former captain of Uganda's national football team. And he spoke with Magume Davis Rakawinge in Kampala, Uganda.
I'm Jackson Mayanja, a former professional football player, former player for Esperance Sportive de Tunis, former El Masri player, and now a former captain also for the national team of Uganda Cranes. I just urge you everybody to listen to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to sukus, afrobeat to ndombolo and makosa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Thanks, David. That's David Vandy, our African Beat music host. An update now on the National Basketball Association playoffs. The games are being played in a special quarantine bubble in Orlando, Florida. That's to protect players, coaches, and officials from the coronavirus. And I'd say so far, the safety protocols have been effective. In playoff action Tuesday, the Orlando Magic and the Portland Trail Blazers both scored upset wins in the opening games of their playoff series. The Magic surprised the top-seeded Milwaukee Bucks, as we hear now from the AP's Chuck Freeman.
A first-round stunner as the Orlando Magic controlled most of the game and cruised to a 122-110 win over the top-seeded Milwaukee Bucks. Giannis Antetokounmpo had 31 points for the Bucks, but he had difficulty finding some open looks against a stingy Magic defense. Nikola Vucevic had a playoff career-high 35 points.
Had a great game on both ends of the floor. Defensively, I thought we did a very good job. A lot of stuff they did, but obviously our main focus was trying to make it hard on Giannis.
The Magic were lighting up the three-point line. The Magic built an 18-point lead in the first half thanks to a 15-2 run, while the Bucks showing only a glimmer of life when they closed within one in the third quarter. I'm Chuck Freeman.
Thanks, Chuck. In another upset on Tuesday, the Portland Trail Blazers beat the Los Angeles Lakers. The AP's Mark Myers reports.
Damian Lillard scored 34 points and the Blazers stunned LeBron James and the Lakers 100-93 in game one of their first round playoff series.
We know that it's only going to get harder from here. It's just one game. And the job is far away from being done. But I'm proud of our effort and getting the first one.
Lillard came up clutch when it mattered most, making an array of dazzling shots in the fourth quarter, including the go-ahead three with just over 3 minutes remaining. His backcourt mate, C.J. McCollum, finished with 21 points. James got a triple-double, 23 points to go along with 17 rebounds and 16 assists.
We had a couple breakdowns, which you can't have down the stretch, especially versus a team as red hot like Portland. And those two, the two-headed monsters are the ones who kind of, made the plays. CJ hitting a big three, Damian, a couple threes as well.
I am Mark Myers.
Thanks, Mark. In two more NBA playoff games on Tuesday in Orlando, the Miami Heat defeated the Indiana Pacers 113-101, and the Houston Rockets beat the Oklahoma City Thunder 123-108. Miami and Houston now lead their first round best of seven series 1-0. James Harden had 37 points and 11 rebounds for the Rockets in their victory. His all-star teammate Russell Westbrook, who played the previous 11 years with Oklahoma City, did not play in the game because of a quadriceps injury. Meanwhile, the Boston Celtics say forward Gordon Hayward will be sidelined for about 4 weeks after suffering a severe right ankle sprain in their opening game playoff win over Philadelphia. The injury occurred in the fourth quarter of Boston's 109-101 win Monday night. Hayward jumped for a rebound and rolled his ankle as he landed on teammate Daniel Theis's foot. He limped back to the locker room and didn't return. Hayward played 34 minutes and scored 12 points with 4 rebounds before the injury. Gordon Hayward has had some tough luck with injuries since joining the Celtics in 2017. He broke his leg and dislocated his ankle in the opening game of the 2017 season and didn't play again until almost a year later. And last year, Hayward broke his hand in a game against the San Antonio Spurs. Finally, let's give a Sunny Side of Sports birthday salute to Mary Jo Fernandez, who won more than $5 million in prize money and 2 Olympic gold medals during her career in women's tennis. Mary Jo is celebrating her 49th birthday on this Wednesday. She was born in the Dominican Republic. Her father is from Spain, and her mother is from Cuba. Mary Jo grew up in Florida, and she won gold medals for the USA in women's doubles at the 1992 Barcelona Olympics and the 1996 Atlanta Olympics. And that wraps up the August 19th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's Newsmaker Interview Program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues. It's about listening to them and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.